She's the media maven with her finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of Chicago. If it's happening in the Windy City, she's got you covered. Here's Candid Candace Jordan.
Well, welcome to another fabulous podcast. I'm telling you, I cannot listen to that opening enough with that beautiful voice of Jennifer Weigel. And coincidentally, we're going to be talking to her today, too, so I'm extremely excited about that. And my co-host, producer, John St. Augustine. Are you there?
Yeah, I am here. And it is amazing coincidence how that happened. I don't know. Like the universe put you and Miss Weigel in the same space finally.
Well, listen, I believe in things like that. And I
yes,
know she
do.
Does, too. So we're going to have a wonderful time talking about that.
Are you going to let read a 15-minute bio of hers? Sounds like a eulogy. When you read Weigel's bio, it's like a eulogy. It's so long.
Well, she does have pages and pages and pages when you Google her. And I mean, she is... She's so accomplished, and I can't wait to talk to her. But, you know, I want to tell you, this is my birthday podcast.
That's correct.
Yes, and so I am sitting here with a pointy hat on.
No, you're not.
And I also want to tell you
Wait, are you really?
No.
Oh, okay.
but I do have makeup on because I wanted to make this a special, special podcast.
Yeah.
So I know you can't see me, but I look really, really cute.
Listen, so is Chuck taking you somewhere special tonight?
Well, we're going to La Scarola, which is our happy place.
Yeah.
And we're going to try out that new bar that's called the Pearl Club.
Oh.
That my friend Tom Kehoe designed. And I'm going to have some information about him later in the show, too, that I'm excited to talk about.
Fantastic.
But first, let's get started.
Wait. Can I sing happy birthday to you?
Oh, can you sing?
Not really.
Then no.
Okay.
All right. Let's just start with... We're going to move right into the intro. All right.
But I know that Jennifer Weigel can sing. She's done the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley.
Oh, the national anthem.
Difference.
don't doubt that at all. Well, So let me just tell everyone if you've lived in a cave for 100 years and you've not heard of Jennifer Weigel, she's an award-winning broadcast journalist who's been on a journey to bring spirituality into the mainstream media for over 20 years. She's won an Emmy. And her work covers all platforms from print journalism, where she worked as a columnist for both the Tribune and Sun Times, to radio and television. She's written books. She's interviewed authors. She's got podcasts, one of which the name is my favorite of all time. I'm Spiritual. Damn it. I have never heard a better title in my life. And the Jen Weigel Show. So, Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, what a pleasure to speak to both of you. And Candace, I feel like our paths have just missed each other so many times. It's finally great to be in the same orbit.
Oh, listen, really. I feel exactly the same. I mean, it's like we're two ships passing in the night. And thanks to John, we're finally hooked up. So I'm excited about that. So I told you when we were chatting offline that we have something in common. You know, when I was growing up, my family were extremely spiritual. They were mediums. Mm. As a matter of fact, I pulled a book off my bookshelf from 1900 that was my grandmother's called A Guide to Mediumship and Physical Unfoldment. So I have lived with this for my whole life. As a matter of fact, my cousins used to do what they call tables. And do you know what tabling is?
Would they like lift the tables?
Yes.
Or they would
just
sit around it?
No,
and do
they would lift. They would do both. But at one point, they would lift the table. And I remember it was the first time Chuck met my cousins, and they did that. And surprisingly, we're still together. But you know, I was born into a family that definitely believed in all of this kind of stuff. And I know that you say in one of your comments on your podcast, you're on a journey to help explain the unexplainable. And I absolutely love that. And tell me, how did you get to be so spiritual, damn it?
Well, I didn't believe in any of it before, Candace. But my father, the late Tim Weigel, passed away and I was 30 years old and I was asking a lot of questions. And as a journalist, as you mentioned, I had a journalist background and I was very skeptical about anybody who claimed to be able to do any of this stuff. So I find it so fascinating that you had this book dating back to 1900 because as I dug and dug and dug, the spiritualist movement, which is basically believing that you can talk to the other side, that some people have that ability, was huge during the time of Abraham Lincoln. It's believed that one person in every household was a spiritualist. It was a booming business. Mm-hmm. And so there were these communities that had popped up across the United States. I think a lot of it was because of the significant loss past with the Civil War and how many people died during that. But, you know, I really just, I was really worried that people were getting taken advantage of. So my first book, Stay Tuned, I set out on this mission to prove it all wrong. I thought I was going to find all of these frauds and I was going to be like doing this huge expose.
Yeah.
And, you know, four books. I'm reading my fifth book now. I'm still doing it. I'm still exploring it. And now I know that some people are just wired differently. And there is just this antenna. We're all connected. If we could just open up our minds a little bit and see, the research is there. It's significant.
Yeah. And another comment, you said that dead people are everywhere and they're dying to talk to you. Yeah. And I just love that comment. And you know, I can understand that because my mother, when her mother passed, you know, she tried desperately to contact her and I understand the need for that 100%. And, you know, in that time it was called seeing through the veil was the phrase they used at the turn of the century. And so tell me, on your research, what did you find? Did you find, you know, more people than not have success at this, or is it real or is it not real? Or what did you discover in all your travels?
I believe that a lot of people are born differently and wired differently. We're all born with intuition. So that's the first thing. It's this sixth sense. And you know, I mean, as a lot of, they call it, you know, women have a sixth sense. No offense to John, but we seem to have it more in our wiring than than most. But they used to call it the Hilton hunch. You know, Conrad Hilton, when he was doing all of his business, the Hilty hunch was how he did business. And that is what this is. Intuition. So now, can we connect to those on the other side of the veil, if you will? I really think that we can reach other dimensions if we kind of get to a meditative state. It's all in the wiring. It's all in the intention. To think that everything that you see and touch right here, right now is it?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy to me, because I know a lot of people I've interviewed, Candace, have died and come back. That was fascinating to me. The near-death experience.
Yes, yes.
You know, and when I always say this to people, I like their judgment because they've been in there before. I haven't. So yeah. I'll take what they have to say any day.
Yeah, 100% agree. And there was a great book that was written on that that I read that was really made my, you know, hair on my arm stand up, because, you know, you want to believe that. You certainly don't want to believe that this is the end of things. And, you know, there is hope. And people like you and the woman that wrote this book really gives people hope that believe in that. And I strongly, strongly believe in it. So I'm really thrilled to have you on. And so, you know, like, I know you give workshops on things like this, and I know there's no simple answer and it's not black and white, but what kind of advice would you give for people who are trying to, like, expand their consciousness or, you know, develop an intuition? Because, I mean, I think it's possible for you to do that, but I'm not sure. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, this woman came to town named Dr. Mary Neal, who wrote the best-selling book To Heaven and Back, when I was a columnist for the Chicago Tribune, Candace. And she came here to speak at Evanston Hospital at the near-death. They have the Chicago IANDS is the acronym, International Association for Near-Death Studies. And she was an orthopedic surgeon, still is actually, had a near-death experience. And she travels around the country, the world actually, telling her story. So she came down to the Tribune and told me that, listen, if you just set the intention that you're going to be open to the possibility that maybe some signs can come from the other side, from our loved ones on the other side. That's like putting a flare up. Like, imagine you're in Lake Michigan and you need to be rescued. So you put a flare up. You put the flare up. They will say, okay, she's turned on, people. Let's go. And you will not be able to prove with the law of possibilities and probabilities and mathematics and all of that how often it happens. So you first have to just be open to it. Set the intention. So look up and say, okay, Dad, I want to see cardinals for the next 5 days or whatever the heck it is. Say something. Be open to it and watch the magic happen. And then when it happens, you go, okay, gotcha. Now send more. And so that started with me with heart shapes.
Tell me about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, okay, after I met Dr. Mary Neal, I said, okay, she says I got to be open to it. So I looked up and I was like, okay, guys, show me some heart shapes. And the first thing I saw was this muddy blob in a perfect heart right by my front door. And it was mud. And then the next day, true story, the dog threw up in a heart shape. I'm not even kidding. They're very funny. So, you know, honest to goodness, it's been happening every day since that, I think that moment I interviewed Dr. Mary Neal in 2012, and that's, you know, a long time ago. So I just tell people, open your mind, set the standard, say, okay, I want to see, you know, number sequences, and then you'll be like 222, 111, whatever it is, be open to the possibility and just watch the magic happen.
Oh my God. Can I envision like winning lottery ticket numbers?
Yes. Show me the abundance now. But that would, you know, and I always tell people it might not be for your highest good to win the lottery, but if it is, say, hey guys, if it's for my highest good, will you bring it on?
Well, that's very smart. You're right. For your highest good. I've seen many of those lottery people are not quite so happy. So
exactly.
Let me ask you, so how have you changed since you've embarked on this spiritual journey?
Well, I feel like it's not so final, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything used to be so dire. And back when I was working in the if it bleeds, it leads mentality of the newsroom,
exactly.
Everything's wrong, back to you. I felt like everything was so urgent. And, you know, I had to be here or there or I might miss something. And now I'm much more in, I don't know, Candace, it's like I'm so much more calm about things. I have a teenager. My gosh, I have to find a way to be calm. Mm-hmm. And so just to be able to trust that you might be exactly where you're supposed to be in every moment, even if you're stuck in traffic. So I wake up every day and say, show me where you want me to go. How can I help? What can I do? Oh. And when you're in that sort of gift of, I want to connect people, help them heal, connect the dots, you'll be put where you're wanted, even if it means you're stuck in traffic, because then you might really meet somebody cool when you get to your destination, because you say, show me where you want me to be in every moment.
Oh God, you know, that phrase alone, and you said let go and let God was one of the things that you used in one of your explanations and how to get out of the way of trying to make things happen, you know, where you're trying to force things to happen that, mm-hmm. and if you just sit back, I mean, you know, that's been one of my biggest problems. I mean, I just try to bust my head through doors and like a, you know, a bull in a china shop. And I find that once I give up, that's when things happen, you know? So God, if I could learn your level of calmness, I'd feel like a different woman, but that's a great, great, great piece of advice.
Oh, please, I have to say it out loud. I have to say it out loud, Candace, so I can remember it. But I think of the visual of you can't make a garden grow faster by pulling on the stalks.
No.
You know, you can pull on the flowers and try to, come on, guys, come on, let's do this. So no, that's not going to help. You water them and you mulch them and you look at them and you put them in good placement, but you can't make them grow faster.
No. Well, you know, and I feel like these days, I mean, people like you that are proud and speak about your spirituality. And I mean, you're, I think fewer than what we should have. I mean, I think people are afraid to express their beliefs now. People are afraid to say they believe in God or a God. And, you know, you get trampled on everything for your beliefs. And so I think that there's more need now than to share that kind of feeling and to share that kind of information. I mean, the only reason that I was ever even baptized is because my aunt wouldn't give my inheritance that she was promised. So my dad rushed me to the church to get baptized in the Episcopalian faith just because
right.
my aunt was going to hold out an inheritance. So, I mean, that's my introduction into religion. So that's not quite the way I had hoped for it to be. But anyway, but so, you know, it is, it's like something that people keep under a rug.
Right.
And that, you know, I think, you know, we need to just shout it loud and shout it proud, you know, how you feel and your beliefs, because I think the world needs that now more than ever, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing that's so bizarre. People, there are over, I think the last I counted, over 2 billion people in the world call themselves Christians, but nobody was an actual witness to Jesus, right? This was all stories that have been told and passed down generation after generation after generation. And people believe it and they have trust and they have faith that that's actually what happened. But as far as eyewitness accounts go, you and I both know, Candace, in the journalism world, you could all pick up your phone and just take a video and there's your eyewitness account. They didn't have video back then. They didn't even have typewriters. They chiseled things onto stone and told stories. So, I mean, and look at the faith and the trust that we, you know, so many millions and billions of people have that's actually fact. So for me, I say, well, you know what, if you trust that and you believe that, then why can't you trust this?
Yeah, exactly. You know, on your recent podcast, I listened to some of it and you said that there are, in May, there are planetary things that are happening now.
Mm-hmm.
You're something about raise the vibration of the planet. Can you explain what that means?
Well, you know, it's funny, Candace, I interview a bunch of different experts and there was somebody on who tracks that stuff. And I can definitely say that I am not a planet tracker by any means, but I know that on May 5th, there was a full moon and then there was some sort of eclipse situation. And then for 2 weeks after that, it was like, hey, now's the really good time if you want to manifest stuff. And everybody's all about, I just want to manifest it. You know, can we just do like a vision board and manifest it? It's like, ugh. So, you know, it's like, okay, if the planets are going to help us manifest it, then let me just find out what's really going on here. And so I did some digging. and found out that I guess the planet's placement hasn't been this way since the Civil War. So it's very volatile, and it's very much mirroring what happened during that time as well. And I do think there's something big going on here. So it's just like, stay calm. You know, it's literally just put your head down and just keep going. Just keep going.
You know, that is so true. I mean, I feel like people are just so angry now. I mean, in the streets, you know, knocking people out of the way. I mean, I believe that could be true. Let me, you have kids, or do you have one? Or
I have two, one son.
One son.
Yeah, I have one
son. Is he spiritual like you are?
He makes fun of me so much. And you know what? Here's the thing. And I write about this in my second book, I'm Spiritual, Damn It. He, when he was 2 years old, could see my dad, who died 6 years before he was born. And he would tell me direct things that my dad was saying. He would tell me things that, like, I'll give you an example. One day I was tucking my son in, and I was wearing these earrings that my grandmother, Virginia, they used to be hers, and I had them made into pierced earrings because my grandmother didn't have pierced ears. And I was thinking about her the whole day, and I'd been at the grocery store. And I said, good night, sweetie, and I was tucking him in. He was maybe 4 years old, and he said, he couldn't say his R's, Candace, so it was really cute. He said, Grandma Virginia loves what you did with the earrings. And I was like, what? And I said, when did she tell you that? He goes, today at the grocery store. You know, she was, I said, she was with us at the grocery store? He said, yes, when you were shopping. You know, and he's just, then he goes off to sleep. So, you know, how can you make that stuff up? I don't know.
You can't,
know.
No. And you kids certainly can't make it up. And, you know, they seem to be much closer and connected to their, you know, the other side than any adults, because I guess they're just, their little bodies are wide open to anything. But you see so many accounts of kids doing that in, like, you know, on YouTube and things. I mean, that it's really, it's kind of interesting, and it's it gives you hope, quite frankly.
It does. There's a wonderful show that was on that is now, you can find it on YouTube, called The Ghost Within My Child, where these children have these memories of past lives. It's sort of like the veil is thin. You talk about crossing the veil.
Yeah.
And they remember very specific encounters. You know, there is this one story about a kid who I guess was one of the designers of the Titanic and would have these panic attacks and these horrible dreams about drowning. And I mean, it's just these kind of, whoa, how do the signals get crossed? It's really, really something. And I know my son now, as he's a 17-year-old, he just graduated. He just finished his junior year, going into his senior year of high school. And he doesn't even admit that those conversations took place about Grandma Virginia. You know, he just doesn't even, you know, he just wants to go out with his friends. He's like, whatever, mom, you know, eye roll. But he still looks at the clock at 4:44 and makes a wish. You know, some stuff does get, you know, it does rub off. So I'll take it.
Oh, definitely take it. And you know, I know you've interviewed so many people that are so interesting. Who stood out and why?
You know what? I think that Dr. Mary Neal that I talked about, because she was a woman of science, is married to a surgeon. And she said to me, Jen, I was without oxygen for 30 minutes. I am a living miracle. I shouldn't be here at all. And yet I am. So that alone, that in and of itself. And then the other one I would say is Carolyn Mace, and it's spelled M-Y-S-S, so people think it's Miss, but she wrote the best-selling book, Anatomy of the Spirit, Sacred Contracts. She's fantastic. She has 8 New York Times best-selling books, and she, you know, was just living her life and became this medical intuitive. She didn't ask for it. That means she would look at somebody and be like, they have kidney stones. And then she was like, how do I know that?
Oh, my God. Well, she's in the right position. I'd like to have her for my doctor.
No kidding.
So let me ask you, when that woman went, was dead, clinically dead for 30 minutes, did she see anything?
Yes, she was in the light. She was with Jesus. She said that, you know, it was like completely, like, she didn't want to go back into her body. She was looking down going, ooh, that knee is pretty messed up. I mean, she had to relearn how to walk and everything. It was really quite an outstanding story. To Heaven and Back is the name of the book. And meeting her in person, I mean, her eyes, Candace, sort of like how yours are, absolutely sparkling. They're just beautiful. Yeah. Honestly, that is what her eyes looked like. I felt like I was being looked at by somebody who had been touched by God. That's the only thing I can explain.
God.
It's just so powerful. So powerful.
That is, you know, a lot of those accounts that I've read, when people do have an experience like that, they don't want to come back to their bodies.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason. Yeah. Something drags them back, like their kids or something, you know, where they think about them. So, well, I firmly believe it. And, you know, I absolutely love what you do. And what are you working on now? Wait, I know that you and John are doing a writer's workshop.
Yeah, well, you know, so many people ask, how do I write my book and how do I get my story out there? And since John and I have a bunch of books combined, we thought we would teach an online workshop. I've been doing a lot with the online community since we had to shut everything down and I couldn't go in person. So now we're going to do a Zoom, and John and Jen are going to hit the teaching platform on Zoom and teach people how to get their books out there. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
And that's going to be June 29th. And tell people how to sign up for it, or how, you know, what time, and give them some more detail.
Yeah. I'm going to have it on jenweigel.com is where you can find all the stuff. And it'll be right there on the homepage up in the corner, JenWeigel.com.
Yeah, on June 29th. And okay, so now tell me what else you're working on. Another book, did you say?
Yes, I'm writing a book on a compilation of stories of miracles, really. Just like we talked about with Dr. Mary Neal, there are so many people that have come forward with this proof of, you know, that's weird, or, you know, absolutely answered prayers. There are so many instances of answered prayers that just can't be denied anymore. And so I'm putting them down, and ooh. I have so many stories, Candace, that I don't know. I might have a couple books here.
Oh my God. Well, give me a couple. Give me a couple miracles.
You got it.
Something I can choose to hang on to.
It starts with surrender, though, and it starts with believing that it's possible, you know, and that's, you know, Carolyn May said to me once, she said, a miracle is when time and space is bent just for you.
Oh God, that's good.
I love that.
I love that. Oh my goodness. Oh God, Jen. Oh, well, what else are you up to? Am I going to see you on? And other places. I want you to share everything with these people.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, I love the Zoom Spiritual Social Club. So I started doing the Spiritual Social Club live again after 3 years of a hiatus because of COVID. Yeah. So I'm up at in Highland Park at Madame Zuzu's. I've got one on June 25th. And I interview different intuitive people and authors. And so Denise Gazzardo is one of the very first psychics I ever met. She's from Rockford. And she's in chapter one of my very first book, Stay Tuned. And I took my dad, the late Tim Weigel, and we drove out to Rockford to have a psychic reading. And my dad was just joking the whole time, like I was kidnapping him and taking him to crazy town. And we had a blast. And so Denise and I have known each other since the 90s. And she's been on all those Travel Channel shows, going to haunted places and stuff. So I'm going to have that on June 25th at Madame Zuzu's. And then I'm taking people to Europe.
What?
We're going to Europe. Yeah, I'm going
Shut
on a trip.
Up. Back.
Venice and Croatia, you know, I'm spiritual, damn it. Let's go.
Oh, God, I am telling you, I absolutely love that. That is awesome. Oh, I can't believe I have this phone in here. How unprofessional of me.
You're important.
Oh, no. It's just a birthday thing. Anyway, Perfect. So wait, tell me that again about the thing. I got distracted. Tell me about the trip and how people can people still sign up for it?
You know what? Absolutely. And there are a couple of cabins still left for the trip. If you go on jenweigel.com, it's right there on the homepage. We're starting in Venice. I've never been there. Have you, Candace? I'm sure you have.
Oh, yes, I have. Oh, my God.
That's beautiful. And then going to Croatia, all those sea villages on this beautiful ship called the Silver Sea. And it's like a 500-person ship. So it's not like a 1,500 or 3,000-person mall in the water.
Oh, no. The Silver Sea is magnificent, I've heard. And, oh, my goodness, that's awesome.
Yeah, I can't
wait. And so Croatia is a hot spot, I understand. So
I had no idea. So you and Chuck need to come.
Well, listen. Well, if I can twist his arm, you know, I'd be on that boat with you in a heartbeat.
Oh,
well, let me ask you another question. When you dragged your dad to the psychic, were you able to convert him?
So here's what happened. He wanted to talk to his mom, Virginia, the one with the earwings that my son was talking
about. Yes, yeah.
And they were very, very close. And it was really interesting. So she's good with something called psychometry, where you hold a piece of jewelry of somebody who's passed along.
Right.
And then you get impressions. And so my dad brought with these cufflinks that had these charms that my grandmother had made for my dad. So he brought the cufflinks, and they had my head on it and Rafer, my brother Rafer's head on it, right? And she held these cufflinks and brought through very specific messages. Like at the time, there was no Google, Candace, back when this happened. There was no way. I mean, sure, she would be able to say, oh, you're on TV, like things that people knew. But she didn't know that my dad was renovating his kitchen at the time. She didn't know that my dad had just gotten new golf clubs. These are things that were coming through as if this woman, Denise, were a fly in the wall for my dad, which was fascinating. And so then we couldn't find Virginia's wedding bands. Well, she had a few weddings, so let's go back to the first wedding bands from my grandpa. It was a Weigel trait, ran in the family, yeah. You know, with all these weddings. But we couldn't find Virginia's first wedding bands. And so she told Denise to tell my dad where to look for the wedding bands. True story. I write about this and Stay Tuned. He went home and found them exactly where Denise said they would be.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's it. You've got me. You've absolutely got me. That is unbelievable. My goodness. Yeah. Well, that is fascinating. Well, what a life you've lived and continue to live and drag us all along with you. I'm so happy about it. And I love following all your things. And you and John both are so involved in so much. And I just, and you're such a terrific pair too. John and Jen, I mean, it was almost like it was made for you two to be together, right?
We
you
know, have a good time.
We do. It's been 25 years, Jen, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Wow. Absolutely. 98, were we introduced in 98? I think, or maybe it was like 99, but right around there, absolutely.
Yeah, we met at the Sacred Grounds Coffee Shop.
Oh, my God.
Blind Faith Cafe, pretty close.
Same thing.
Wait a minute. That was the name of the cafe, Blind Faith?
Yeah. Yep. It's still there. Yeah, it's
still there. That is a little eerie. That's eerie.
I remember walking and I'm thinking, I'm meeting this iconic journalist. At the time, I was living in Michigan. I'd been doing radio for, I don't know, 2-3 years at that point. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm going to go to lunch and meet Jennifer Weigel. Are you kidding me? I knew who she was. I know what was going on. And I walked into the meeting with a little box, a cardboard shoebox of cassette mm-hmm. tapes of my shows.
Yeah. And I took them home and I popped them into the boom box and I listened to them.
And we're still friends in spite of that.
Oh, yeah. See, meant to be. Here you go.
And you know, and CJ, when I was at WGN, of course, Jennifer was on the Tribune staff and doing all the things that she did. And it didn't take very long when she came into the studio. We'd kind of cross reference and pollinate and support each other. The Tribune people would come in. You'd have Kogan come in and you'd come in and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And Jen came down a few times and it didn't take long to figure out that this John and Jen thing had legs. And I don't mean physical legs. I'm talking about some spiritual energy here. Meaning. Yeah. We, years ago, and I don't care if they listen to WGN or not, they missed an opportunity. John and Jen on WGN? Are you kidding me?
100%.
100%.
100%. Could have been. You know, you mentioned Kogan. Jennifer, when we talked to Rick Kogan, he said, ask Jennifer if she remembers him changing the diapers for you and your brother Rafer.
Well, okay, I do remember that he babysat us, and we should never have allowed that to happen because he was doing cigarette tricks where he was turning it inside out with his tongue, and we were like, do it again, and, you know, he gave us Pepsi and you know, caffeinated bubbly drinks until about 3 a.m. We were climbing the walls eating pepperoni pizza. So that I definitely remember. I don't know about the diapers, but he definitely was a wonderful influence of bad habits at a very early age.
And I got to ask Jen, so what was it like for you all those years later? Because you guys were in the same newsroom and thing. And and I got to ask if you can do a fairly cleaned up version, because nobody does a better Rick Kogan impersonation than Jennifer Weigel.
Oh, shush, let's hear it.
It's unbelievable. Jennifer is unbelievable. No, I just went on Rick's show last Sunday, and it was really wonderful to talk to him because I do ghostwriting for books as well, Candace, mm-hmm. and I just finished ghostwriting the cookbook for Andy Murray, Eat, Drink, and Be Murray. He's Bill Murray's brother, so I spent 2 years following around that family, chronicling their stories, and so we were talking about Eat, Drink, and Be Murray, and, you know, Rick was like, this book is delicious. I love to cook, but it's fabulous. I love Rick.
Oh my gosh, a ghostwriter. God, you just really do everything, the two of you.
I don't do taxes, but I do a lot of other things.
Well, you know what, I can't speak for Ms. Weigel, but when you're in this business, if you don't learn other things than the one thing you know really well, you're done. Mm-hmm. Candace, you've done that. You know, you're a really good writer. You know how to spread these things out. When you go to your platforms, they're all over the map. So, especially if you're going to be in Chicago, right? You got to hustle. You got to do your thing. And I think we've complimented each other over the years because it kind of just started out as, well, what about this? And what about this? And he started to see a synergistic kind of effort. And we both have strengths. Now, when we do these and this upcoming writing workshop we're going to do, you know, I'm real nuts and bolts. I'm a production rat. I love producing things, creating stuff from nothing. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer, of course, has a far deeper reach in media than I do when it comes to promoting things and doing events.
Right.
So it's a really good tag team. And so it kind of reminds me a little of Heckle and Jekyll, the two crows, you know? Hey, chum, how about some con, you know? So she handles the Heckle part, and I do the Jekyll part. It works pretty good.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. The two of you. Oh, well, listen, while we're all on here together, I just want to, it's obvious, I want to talk about, you know, we've lost a great rock and roll icon. I mean, Tina Turner. I mean, I don't know if you have had any interactions with her, the two of you, or if you know of her, or what you'd like to say, anything.
Simply
about
the best. You know, you can't get much better than that. She's just a beauty. I mean, I feel like, and I never met her. I never had the pleasure. I don't know about either of you, but watching her just stand her ground and be this icon and look so dang good. I remember seeing her in the miniskirt and thinking, okay, you're over 50 and you look like that. That gives hope to the rest of us.
Yeah.
She was just so incredibly strong.
She was incredibly strong. And, you know, I didn't know what she passed away from. I know she had multiple things that were wrong with her. But I read a thing in the New York Post that said on March 9th, it was World Kidney Day. And she came out and she said that that she unwittingly gambled with her health by refusing to face the reality that she needed daily therapy and lifelong therapy and medication. And they gave her medication for her kidney disease, and she said it made her sick. So she stopped taking it without telling her doctor and started on homeopathic medicine. And the next thing she knew, she had 35% kidney function, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Wow.
But, you know, that's kind of a cautionary tale for people that, you know, that homeopathic medicine is fine for some people, but maybe you got to really research that more before you go headlong into it. I mean, I think that it was just when I read that, I thought, oh, my God, don't tell me this might have been able to be, you know, controlled or whatever. But she also suffered a stroke, and she had a kidney transplant. She had intestinal cancer. So the woman was definitely ill. There's no question about it. But when I read that, I thought, oh, gosh, that's just awful.
And well, some of that, she was 83. I mean, come on. Right.
Okay,
so that's still a pretty good run with the life that she lived. And the whole kidney thing, of course, hits home with me. I donated a kidney to my daughter when she was 13, and she made it till she was 28, 9, 30, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And then she had some difficulties dealing with some things, and she made some choices that were not the best. And she ended up on dialysis. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, through truly providence and divine intervention, she had a second kidney offered to her. It's been a perfect match ever since. She's doing great. Her life has changed dramatically. And CJ, you've met her, and Jennifer knows her. She's an incredible young lady and doing great. And so all things have worked out. But the thing that was really appealing to me when I was thinking about Tina Turner when she passed away, you know, you'd be hard pressed, I think, to find a Michael Jackson aside, Madonna aside, even Cher aside. I think you got to come at some point and go, she might have been the best live performer in our time, I from what I've seen.
Oh, for sure. 100%, I think she was the best by far.
Energy was something. And the other thing that I came across was a quote that she had that said, my legacy is that I stayed on course from beginning to the end because I believed in something inside of me, which goes right back to what Weigel was talking about.
Exactly. And that little Mick Jagger stole all her moves.
Exactly.
I was going to say that little bastard,
well,
but I can't
that
say
really,
that on my
podcast. Well, it's kind of late. You just did. So how about if I take a minute here, nobody's going
to
care if I drop the needle on a little Tina Turner.
Oh, I'd love to hear some. Let's hear her.
Yeah. All right.
And I want to thank you for making this next one number one. My pulse react. That is only the thrill of falling.
Well, there will never be another like her. Gave me goosebumps. I mean, the entertainer, the queen of rock and roll, there's no question about it. Thanks for sharing that, John. That was great.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you know, that was recorded from a concert she did back in 2009 when she was 69 years old.
60. Wow. Unbelievable. Oh,
yeah, and if you
God.
See the video online, I jaw drop, like, wait, what, she's 69 years old here? Unbelievable. Yeah. So
best legs in the business.
And what
and
a set of pipes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And Jagger missed a stealing a lot of her stuff. I mean, the way she's on stage and, you know, her dance moves. And, anyway.
And just as a sideliner, because they do all this music work, the song Proud Mary was written by the guys from Cleveland's Clearwater, easy for you to say, CCR.
CCR.
Yeah, exactly. And John Fogerty wrote the song, and he says it did okay. And then when Tina Turner did it, it did really okay because he's getting paid ever since. So
yeah, well, everybody owes to her. There's no question about that. Well, that was great. Anyway, she's going to be sorely missed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so. Well, you know, on another note, there was another entertainer in town, certainly not Tina Turner standards, but I did go to the Goodman Gala not long ago, and they had Darren Criss there as the headliner. Do you know who Darren Criss is?
I think you've asked this before. Jennifer might know. I do not.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a singer, he's a songwriter, he's a producer, but I think that probably what he's best known for is his portrayal of serial killer Andrew Cunanan in the assassination of the Gianni Versace.
It's you mentioned this at one of the shows. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he won an Emmy and a Golden Globe for his portrayal. And I'm telling you, if you have not seen this, it is so eerie. He has his mannerisms, his he looks exactly like him, like everything you've seen in all the papers and magazines. And I don't know how he could have gotten out of that niche, but he did a terrific performance at the Goodman. And he sang and played the guitar and played the piano. I mean, he's multi-talented, and he really enthralled the audience. And I was invited to the gala because I was under the understanding that we would interview him afterwards with video. And so I was excited to meet him, and I did my due diligence. I had all kinds of questions and notes and this and that and everything else. And so when we went back, he had decided that he only wanted audio. Mm-hmm. So I was a little disappointed, but, you know, I understand people, you know, they're high after, you know, after that performance, and, you know, they're, you know, maybe they have, this is a thing and they don't want to. I mean, on the other hand, when I interviewed Al Pacino, he talked so long that his PR person had to tap him on the shoulder. So, you know, it's, you never know. But anyway, I did get, you know, some cute little sound bites from him, and I think you might have dropped it in, and so we can just take a listen to that.
So I know you as an actor before. I didn't see you in Glee. I know you were fabulous in it. So you could do everything. And tonight you just wound the ground with another altogether musical.
I only do the things that I think I know how to do in a very concentrated area. If I had put on a show of the things that I can't do, it would take a whole year.
And have you been to Chicago before?
Of course. It's been many, 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 many a good time here. Out of college, I started a theater company that was kind of based here for a long time. So I have a lot of love for them. Chicago theater scene and sort of a lot of really incredible companies and a lot of great theater artists, and sort of the home base of one of improv and that scene is really foster one of my sort of new homes. So I have nothing but love for the greatest Chicago.
Well, we all love you. You can tell as well. I mean, standing ovation. What's the name for you?
I'm honestly just enjoying some time at home and being that guy.
Well, be that guy, because you're as cute as can be, and it was an honor to meet you and to hear your performance.
So he was a really cute guy, very gracious, despite the fact that he wouldn't let me take video of him. But he's very gracious, and he's very, very talented. So the Goodman was lucky to get him.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on one more thing, yes. I have another interview coming up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be chatting with Priscilla Presley.
Oh, no kidding.
Wow. Yes, she's going to be at the Des Plaines Theater. And she's coming in. It's going to be a presentation with, like, visual aids. And I'm sure she's obviously going to talk about her life. And so I've got tons of questions for her.
So
you're going to
grab
that.
Some audio for that,
Yeah,
CJ?
Yeah, definitely. Good. So it should be fun. And I'm excited. I have, as a matter of fact, I collect Christmas ornaments, as I think John knows. I don't
yes.
think you know or care, Jennifer. But anyway.
Cool.
So I have this Graceland ornament that Chuck and I bought when we were there last year. I'm going to ask her to sign it, and then I'll put it on eBay. No, I'm only kidding.
I'll put it on eBay. You know, years ago, I had a friend of mine collect all this Elvis stuff. I don't understand it, don't have to understand. It's like you said, you just, people have things. But she had this this Elvis. It was like a figurine with a battery, you know, and it looked kind of like Elvis, had the white outfit on. And if you pressed it in a certain spot, it said, thank you very much. And guess what spot that was? Never mind where you had to press it for that to happen.
Oh, you got to be
kidding
me.
You
his
press,
hand?
No, yeah, okay. Let's say
thank
his reporting for duty privates is what I'm getting at. And he would you'd press it and he'd go, thank you very much.
That's kind of cool. They'll
just probably
like that.
They'll probably, you know, lease just about anything if you make money, so.
Well, I have another thing I want to talk about. you know, I am a huge fan of Tom Kehoe. I don't know. Do you know Tom Kehoe, right? The huge events guy. He's
in Chicago.
The Garrity.
Yeah,
Garrity, and he does all these incredible events. And I mean, he's spectacular. And he's been a great supporter of mine for the longest time. And I just wanted to share some of the things. You know, he's handling all the furnishings and decor for NASCAR's VIP and viewing platforms.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm. It's huge. And he just finished the Center on Halston Human First Gala, the Ronald McDonald House Charities Gala, the Thresholds Gala, Embark Variety Spectacular, all at the Garrity, which is his event space, which is spectacular. And he also did the decor for the Pearl Club, Ala Vida Carnival, and he's got working on several more restaurants, the Roby Hotel and the Ala Vida Nashville. And he asked me to mention, and I'm excited to mention this, that he's hiring across the board to keep up with their growth. So anybody that's interested and that's in that business, please reach out to Kehoe Designs. And, you know, and it's a fantastic place to work. He's an awesome guy. And I just love to see him so successful. This makes me thrilled to no end.
It is great to see good people do good things.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, it's amazing how much things have bounced back in just 24 months after the virus kind of leveled everything. We were out to dinner last week, a friend of mine and I do some work with Shears High School, as I mentioned on the show a couple times. Yeah. And we went to dinner after. It was packed on a Thursday.
I
said to the owner, I said, Chris, what's up? And she said, it hasn't stopped since for the last year. It's like everything bounced back the other way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. People are more excited than ever to get connected. Didn't you hand out some scholarship awards?
We did. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, we had handed out two $2,000 scholarships to a couple of kids who are going into the trade tech area in memory of our friend Phil Larson, who really started the alumni event with me. And Miss Weigel has so graciously in the past donated her time to go to lunch. We do a lunch legends thing.
Oh.
And so can you imagine lunch with Jennifer Weigel and Tom Skilling at the same table?
Oh, no.
That was
so fun. Now
the only thing that would make it better is if Candace joined us.
Here you go. Oh,
well,
my
let
gosh.
Me tell you, any time that I can help, you know you where to call.
We're going to have Candace, Weigel, and Skilling all at the same table.
Oh,
there you
God.
Go.
Well,
we'll do
count
it.
Me in for anything.
There
you
go.
For sure. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other people that we interviewed was Maria Pappas in our last podcast. And I just want to mention, she just did something with so unbelievable. She spearheaded the passage of groundbreaking property tax reform in Springfield that was just yesterday. And Pritzker's expected to sign it into law soon, but one of the provisions is that it will drop the interest rate homeowners and businesses in Cook County are charged for late property tax payments from 18% to 9% a year.
Saving serious cash.
It's going to save property owners, they say, between $25 million and $35 million a year, and with most of those savings benefiting Black and Latino communities. I knew this woman is like a human machine.
Listen,
she just keeps moving forward.
I was just fascinated. I sat through basically both earplugs, which I never do, listening to the show, and the energy between the two of you is really formidable, but she is a force of nature, number one. And number two, I thought one of the best things she said, and no offense against the current new mayor, in Chicago, was he'd be a better senator than a mayor.
Yeah, I thought
and,
so too.
And he may go in that direction, but I could see why she thought she wouldn't be a good mayor because she actually gets things done.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
What about Maria for mayor down the road?
Well, that did happen.
We've talked about this, and you know, and she's looked at that a couple times, but it just didn't happen. So, listen, I'm always on her, and she's sick of me telling her. I'm sure she's sick of everybody telling her, but I just can't help myself. So. But anyway, so wow, anything else you guys want to add before we close this fabulous show out?
Man, it's just been something else. You know what I got to tell you, you know, I love seeing things come together like the connected dots. So, you know, to watch the two of you kind of get into each other's orbit. Now, I can't wait to see what comes out of all this.
Oh, me neither.
And CJ, I had no idea about your family being in that spiritual sense. And
yes.
That book is amazing.
Isn't it something? Cool. When I knew that we were going to talk, Jen and I said, oh my God, I got to get this book. And so I went through it and read some things about it. And it's absolutely fascinating, I'm telling you. And I had never opened it before until, you know, I knew that I was going to talk to you. So fabulous.
See, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That means they're listening. And now you just talk to them and ask them for some signs. And you better report back to me, Candace.
Oh, you bet I am. Yeah, I'm getting those lottery numbers and we'll share them all together. So
perfect.
There's one more thing I want to mention, because the Bear Type Ball is coming up to benefit Bear Necessities Pediatric Cancer Foundation on Saturday, June 10th. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event for this great cause. I hope everybody can come. You can go to bearnecessities.org for tickets. So that's it. So on that note, I want to thank everybody for tuning in again and listening. I've had so much fun. I hope you had as much fun as I have. Thank you, Jen, for joining us. And always to my left hand, right hand, and everything else, John St. Augustine, thanks for being here. Okay, everybody, have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Candace podcast. For more of what's going on in Chicago, go to candidcandace.com.